Oh, hi there. My name is Bonnie Lippincott, mom of two. During the transformation into motherhood, I learned I needed to trust my intuition, forgive myself, and know that I'm growing alongside my children. The title, Entry Level Mom, is meant to highlight the obvious. We have no formal training, but everything we need is already within our DNA. This podcast is connected to my book, Entry Level Mom, and the goal is to share honest and vulnerable stories with friends to encourage each other. I hope you enjoy. In this episode, the dynamic duo, Jen and Julie, join me to discuss the topic of mom friends. Jen and Julie are business partners, friends, and I admire their supportive, accepting, and loving friendship. We discuss the seasons of mom friendships, self-care, and the principle of putting your oxygen mask on first. I hope you enjoy. Hi, Jen. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for coming over today.
We're happy to be here.
I have a little intro prepared. So I met Julie and Jen in 2021 when we bought our home. You are dual realtors at Pinnacle Estate Properties, and your motto is love where you live, which I love. You two are close friends, you work together, and you support each other. Seeing you two warms my heart and makes me thankful for my friendships. But before we talk about mom friends, let's discuss your motherhood journey. And also, you two are hashtag mom goals, or friends goals, I should say. So the first question I have is, how did you come to be a mother?
Do you want to take that one, Julie?
Sure. Well, I say I had an eight-year pregnancy because we could not get pregnant. We went through in vitro twice. It was an emotional, really difficult journey. And then we decided to adopt. And that was another long 3-year difficult journey. What we didn't realize is that we were doing an open adoption in California. And if you are a Caucasian couple, most of the children up for adoption are not Caucasian, and people have a tendency to want to pick within their own ethnicity. So we had to wait much longer than most. And I remember being in tears quite often, and the social worker would say, but it's not like in vitro. You know you're going to get a baby in the end. Mm-hmm. And so that would calm my nerves. And then finally, I was in a parking lot at Home Depot. And I got a call and they said, we have a baby for you. Do you want it? And you have to make the decision right then and there.
Oh my gosh. Of course, you remember where you were too, because it's such a pivotal experience.
Yes. I called my husband. I said, they have a baby. Are we going to say we want it? 2 minutes later, I'm back on the phone. Yes, we'll take the baby. Mm. That was the journey.
Mm. Wow.
The beginning.
The beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Julie.
I was an older mom, so I always knew I wanted a baby, babies actually. And at some point around 36 or so, I was starting to wonder whether or not I was ever going to meet the person that I was going to have a baby with. And I actually started thinking about alternatives. You know, could I raise a baby on my own? Could I just be one of those? I was in pharmaceutical sales and at the time, and I thought I could do this. I could manage. Started to think about sperm banks and what that was going to look like and how I was going to set myself up to do that. Moved to a 2-bedroom apartment, actually, in anticipation that I needed an extra room for a baby, and met my then husband. And we met in July, were engaged in September, and we were married in April and found out we were pregnant 3 days before the wedding.
Oh my gosh.
And I was 38 and a half years old when I gave birth to my daughter, Olivia, who is turning 16 in December.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was my journey to becoming a mom.
And we were similar in the way, because I kept saying, I don't want a baby after I'm 40. Mm. And sure enough, the adoption was finalized when I was 41.
So be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
Of course.
It's such an interesting journey to become a mother, and everyone's journey is so different.
Yeah.
And
and also beautiful. It's neat that you both like decided that you want to become a mother and kept pursuing it. And I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. How did you two meet, by the way?
Craigslist.
I placed an ad for the best real estate partner ever. And there she was. So we were both in training. We did training. So Berkshire Hathaway in Thousand Oaks is where we started this journey. And they're really well known for their training program. So Julie and I both had made the decision that we wanted to get like the best possible kind of start and education, like to set ourselves up for success in real estate. And so we were both there. She was a little bit ahead of me in the training. And, you know, real estate still can be very lonely because, you know, if you're representing a buyer and seller and you're alone, there's no one to bounce an idea off of. And so in the office, there was a lot of like interconversations that were going on. We kind of established a little bit of a, you know, friendship where she was having a tough time with something and I was going through something about real estate. And so we were kind of like figuring things out or like, you know, problem solving. And we started to talk about door knocking, which is a big part of the business that they kept pushing at our brokerage back then. And I think it didn't really resonate for either of us as something to do, but we were like, they keep telling us to do this. This is what we should do.
Like cold calling?
Yeah, like knock on the door.
Okay.
Like, hi, I'm Jen. Nice to meet you. Like, I don't know what I'm going to get, but hello.
I've done cold calling too. It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. It was really terrifying. So we decided maybe if we did that together, it would make that easier. And so we had some fun with it. We bought scooters because we're like middle-aged ladies. We had a lot of miles to walk. And at the time we had a hilly neighborhood. So
electric scooters
and people started to know us in the neighborhood. Like the ladies on the scooters.
I'm so adorable.
Wiped out once in a driveway.
Impressed with those small pants.
Do you have any pictures? Just a bell and a basket.
No, we do not have any pictures intentionally.
I wanted to get a drone to follow us. I thought that would be really good marketing. Yeah.
Such a good idea.
Yeah. But that's the inception of the team, Julie and Jen. Eventually we started adding, we were marketing individually and decided what we're spending marketing dollars for each individually. Then this piece of our relationship together. So we decided, let's just get married.
We got real estate married.
What does that mean?
We're partners in everything. We share everything.
And the highs, the lows, the money, the lack of money.
What a gift to the buyers and sellers, though. I know when I was working with you, I was so well taken care of. I mean, I was, whenever I called, you were there and you had all the answers between the two of you and whoever would come to the appointments. It was just a delight, you know? So Thank you. Cool.
Thank you.
That means everything.
Yeah, that does mean a lot to us. That's how we always wanted to work.
Yeah. That's cool. My next question is, you know, why is having mom friends or a village important in working motherhood or in motherhood in general?
Go ahead, Julie.
Because you often go from a workforce where you're collaborating with other people, you're with other people every day, and now you're alone, you're isolated, you don't know what the heck you're doing. You're questioning every single thing you're doing. So you go find those moms, you go find your people. And so those mom friendships you make when your children are young become forever your tribe, because you go through tears, laughter, successes, failures, everything with them in those beginning years. Mm-hmm. So they become really important relationships.
I think it's also, you know, the support is that collaboration she's talking about. It's like, you know, and especially like, you know, if somebody's kid's a little ahead of yours, you know, it can be really helpful to hear about that next stage. Or like to normalize what your expectations should be at a different developmental stage, you know, and that there's a huge range of what could be expected, and to not feel like, you know, if I didn't have those, like a person to bounce that off of to say, you know, is it normal my daughter won't speak to me, or, you know, or doesn't want to be touched by me, or, you know, or whatever's going on, you know, like you get really in your head that like you're failing,
yes,
you know, as a parent, but then you can have three different conversations with three different moms and they'll be like, oh no, that was last year for me. Or, you know, and it lasted 6 months, or, you know, don't worry, she's going to come out of it and she's going to want to be your best friend. Mm-hmm. So I think that normalization of things that kids go through as they're developing really helps, because otherwise I think we would just be sitting there going like, am I just like, don't know how to do this at all?
Treading water.
You know? And we, Julie and I always have this back and forth of like, I don't know, threw the spaghetti at the wall. Like, like did it stick this time? I don't know. Or we try to tweak what we're saying or how we're saying it or what we're offering. And then I think another big piece is blowing off steam. Right. So like, I think the benefit, I mean, Julie, we each like to blow off our steam in different ways. Like Julie loves to dance. And so she has a group of women who love to go out and dance. And that's like her thing. And she needs to blow off steam. She's like, I'm going to the Canyon Club. I'm going to dance. I'm going to get the steam out.
Bookie nights.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm more like inward, which is interesting because in the real world, people would think, oh, she's so outgoing. But I'm a bicycle. I'm on my bicycle, like staring at the clouds or, you know, hiking by myself or sitting quietly somewhere or going to like a crafts fair or something like that. So we each have different ways, but I think, and sometimes we do it with each other, you know, like we'll go do something together. That's this weekend, we're going away together. And we don't get to do that often, but it's so special when we do. And we're going to go to listen to some music. So,
amazing.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's important to highlight self-care too as mom. There's more required of you. So therefore you have to keep yourself, you know, blow off steam and healthy totally. And all of that. So that's really cool. And also neat that you've figured out what works best for you. Cause I'm still trying to try out different things sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Yeah. How to fill your soul. Yeah. So that you can be a better version of the mom that you want to be.
Yes, exactly.
And I think when they're really little, like where you're at, it's really tough because they need so much all the time. There's not a lot of breathers in between when you're with them, you know, like there's big expectations. And as they get older, they want more time by themselves. So then you get more time to figure out like, oh, okay, well, they're in the room. What would I like to do?
It's so bizarre.
It's really weird.
They first come, they need you every single second. And then it's a slow, it's like the slowest breakup you've ever experienced. Because the whole goal is to get them to be self-sufficient. But
correct.
All this time we're getting used to them.
Correct.
You know, I'm a jungle gym and I've come to love it now with all the elbows and everything. And I come to expect it. And when they go in the other room and because they're 6 and 4 now, I'm not worried they're going to really hurt themselves as much.
Right.
I mean, I have like my time limits, but if they go in the other room, I am finding myself thinking, well, what do I do now?
What do I do?
But that's cool.
Yeah. So you'll find over time that you'll have more and more of those spaces to be with you, whatever that is.
And I always say, put your oxygen mask on first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're going to show up the best for your kids if you're taking care of yourself emotionally first.
It's so true.
For sure.
It's so true. I find that I handle the lows better, but I also am able to lean into the highs better. I can really lean into the joy if I'm taking better care of myself and sleeping as much as I, you know, as possible.
That's possible.
Yeah. But I like what you said about the friendships and how they help you with the wins and also the failures.
Yeah.
The failures were harder for me to show, but that's when I needed my friends the most, right?
Right, so, of course.
After Max's first emergency room visit, they stitch up his eyebrow. And I took the day off from work the next day, and I was just sitting in my living room, you know, crying because I felt so guilty to let the accident happen. Mm-hmm. And my friend came over with a red bouncy ball and a hug for me. And I thought, oh, I never needed this hug more. And she said, I want to come over to make sure you're not still beating yourself up.
Blaming yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's hard because we are so hard on ourselves.
So hard. And we use the word all the time. You have to give yourself grace. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we're all human.
We are. Yeah. And I think that's the case for business and for life in general. And I think it's interesting. I mean, this wasn't a question you asked, but, you know, as part of our relationship, you know, when we first started in this business together, you know, and mistakes were made, we would go down. You know, I mean, it would be, we were so hard on ourselves about whatever we didn't do that we thought we should have, or could have shown up better, or should have done it X, Y, Z way. And then we would kind of have like a rule of how long we would each give ourselves to have a pity party.
Oh, I love about that. It.
Yeah.
To feel the feelings, but then after an hour, you've got to go.
Correct.
Yeah, we'd be like, tomorrow.
It's a new day. Mm-hmm. And we can't do this to ourselves anymore. It's not serving us. It's not helping anybody. And it got shorter and shorter, you know, so now it'll be like 5 minutes,
you know,
we'll get on the phone and be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That sucks. Okay.
Oopsie. And then move on.
I love that.
Oopsie. Whoops. We are human.
It is a muscle. I found that too. I made a mistake recently. I accidentally missed the parent teacher conference. But Ryan made it. So one parent was there. It was okay. And 1 year ago, I probably would have beaten myself up all day long. But I only beat myself up for 1 hour.
Good for you.
Good for you.
It was a mistake. But you live and learn. And you just, it doesn't serve you, like you
but
said,
you
to be to stay there. You have to move on.
It doesn't help anybody.
It doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. So why is it important to have a village? We actually just kind of discussed that mostly, mm-hmm. but. For support is to celebrate the wins and the losses. Yeah. Anything else on it? A village?
No, oh, I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Agreed. What do you love about each other?
I can go first.
Okay.
Jennifer has a tremendous amount of integrity. She has a heart bigger than can fit within her little frame. And she's very funny and she loves passionately. But mm-hmm. what I love the most about Jennifer is she is always striving to show up as her best self and she's always learning and growing. And in a year where I am about to turn 60, I see a lot of people that get to a certain point and they're like, I'm done. You get what you get. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate anybody that is looking at their life is a continual path to grow and evolve. And I love that she always does that.
That's really hard for me to hear because and wonderful to hear all at the same time. You know, part of that growth is being able to take in those things and to have them kind of like sink and be legitimate. And I appreciate your saying all that. And you know,
hopefully she knows all that.
Yeah, I do. And I think that is part of the journey, right? It's being able to see yourself, maybe not through your old wounds, but how other people see you in the world. And Julie, like when I think about her, you know, she's like this ray of light that draws people into her because she shows up for each person kind of how they need her to be for them. Regardless of what is happening in her own life, regardless of the struggles and the pain and the discomfort that she's going through, she will still answer whatever call she receives from whoever needs her at whatever time. And she will be there with her whole heart, and her ears and her intelligence and her, perspective. And I think that over the years, part of my growing really is a result of this relationship because she has a unique ability to like kind of accept people in this really profound way. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I have aspired to be more like in my life, to be this accepting human being that kind of looks at it like, you know what? That's okay. You know, we're all flawed. She's always said to me over the years, we're all incredibly flawed. And And it gives like this generous acceptance. And I think that is such a gift that she gives to everybody that's in her life. And because of that, they're like little gnats to her. Yeah. Like they don't want to leave. They want more because she's kind and she's loving and very present. And those are all like really, and in spite of anything going on in her life. So for me, it's really aspirational. And the other amazing things about Julia is she's always challenging herself in the same way. She's like, oh, this year I'm going to learn Portuguese. This year I'm going to start a business. You know, we have a little bit of time. Real estate's not as busy. I've always had this idea that I wanted to put positive messages out in the world. I'm starting a lifestyle brand, Jennifer. I'm doing it tomorrow. And by the way, I'm doing it tomorrow. By the way, I'm going away. And by the time I get it back, this is going to be completely launched. And whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. And I'm doing it. And I'm going to learn the background thing, and I'm going to learn this is how to get the money for it, and I'm going to learn how to get the manufacturers to make it, and I'm not going to have supply. It's like, what are you doing? You know, and so she has this like insatiable desire to like learn other things and challenge herself. That's really remarkable. And I hold her in the highest esteem, really. So there you go.
Like I said, friendship goals. You
friendship have goals. Got to keep my ego in check. So, I'm in Spanish. That's very generous.
It's really true.
You know, what was similar in both of your descriptions of what you love is how you love the person, not the, you don't fit each other in a box. You each are growing and shifting, and that's what you admire about each other. And
totally.
That's really
absolutely
beautiful.
Totally. Really special. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Neither of us wants to stay stagnant. And I may be growing like in these emotional relationship ways, and Julie's growing to like to challenge and their emotional ways, but also just to challenge, like, what else can I do?
I love that. Zest. What is that?
She has a joie de vivre about, you know, about where her life's going to go. You know, it's cool.
It is really cool.
And in spite of challenges. And in spite of challenges.
Yeah.
Well, I launched the lifestyle brand.
She sure did.
And it's called Tabano Lifestyle. And Tabano is a Western African symbol that is oars. And it has to do with unity, strength, and perseverance, which I thought was an incredible foundation for the company. And it's all clothing, hats, journals, mugs with inspirational graphics and sayings on them. So I really wanted to put something really positive out in the world and do something very creative that really resonated with me. And so that's what it is.
Thank you. Well, I can't wait to check it out.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool. I have a couple of her shirts, and everywhere I wear them, people are always like, oh, that's a really cool.
Yeah, she's in charge of my fan club.
People see me wearing it, and they're like, oh, like, I could look cute in that.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a t-shirt that says I am on it.
I love that. That was my mantra with my meditations last year, mostly. I just am.
I am.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's really special.
I guess you need a shirt.
Thank you. Yeah, I need the shirt.
Need a shirt.
Agreed. How have your female friendships or friendships in general changed through the years?
Well, I think for me, I let go of things that don't serve me. I think that's a huge one. I feel like in the younger days of raising a child, you know, my needs from friendships were very different. And in some ways, there's more acceptance of who people are. And I have different kinds of friends for different things that I like to do. And then the ones that really weren't working, I used to feel so badly about not like continuing it and keeping it going. And now I just look at it like the people who are in my life, all offer something to each other. Like we all offer things to each other, love, support, growth, inspiration.
and they're all walks and talks, and they're all ages. Like, we both have a friend who's in her 70s that we can talk to for ages about a million different things. But I think it's the realness of their relationships has definitely increased. Like, what we share with each other, the honesty and how we show up for each other, and the stability of those. Whereas I feel like in the elementary school days, it was different. You know, what those relationships were like maybe was more superficial than it is in my 50s. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You, Julie.
So when I was younger, female friendships usually evolved around things we had in common. Mm-hmm. So you make friendships at work. You make mom friendships through preschool and school. Mm-hmm. You make friends through college of things that you're doing together. Right? You know, you're put in a group to work together. And so you have these common either hobbies or things, mm-hmm. and then that is the start of the friendship. When you're older, none of those things matter anymore. True. And it doesn't matter if your kids know each other.
Right.
If you have the same job, if you belong to the same church, if you know, all of those commonalities, nothing right. matters anymore. So true. You begin to be able to curate friendships based on people that have the same principles, integrity, right. soul
yeah.
that you have or you aspire to have true. And surround yourself with those people.
True.
And so those relationships become much deeper,
yeah.
much more profound. And I do hear women, especially more my age, say, oh, it's harder to make friendships as you get older. And I don't find that me to be either. The case at all.
No.
I think what they may be saying is they don't come to you as easily as they did when you had that automatic in with a child or with the work. Mm. Now you have to go seek people that are part of your tribe.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes complete sense.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Well said.
Thank you.
You articulated what was inside. I should have just said go, Julie. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you both share the same sentiment.
Same sentiment.
I love that. That's neat. I look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to watch different. Friendships evolve through the years.
Totally. And
like, I hadn't thought about this before or put words to it before, but my needs, since I'm changing and my needs are changing with the kids, it makes sense. It's natural to have friendships in different avenues yes. and areas for different reasons. So
correct.
Cool. Thank you. And then final question, what is one example where community or a friend has supported you?
Okay.
Well, this was my hardest question on your list.
Same.
So
that's interesting.
Our child really struggles. He has ADHD, severe depression, cerebral palsy, mental illness. He's been hospitalized many, many times for being suicidal. And life can be very, very hard. And there's no word to summarize as a mom what this is like. And we've been going through this for 6-7 years. And there's so many people in my life that no matter what, I know if I needed them, I could pick up the phone and they would do anything and be there and sit by me and listen and love me and support me. And this may sound odd, but when I'm in the thick of it, I can't mm-mm. pick up the phone.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to survive. Yet, knowing that they're there, knowing that if I'm looking down, I've got this huge net that I can fall into if I need to, helps me get through it.
Mm-hmm.
So I may not call, I don't call because it's too hard. Mm-hmm. And the moment is too hard. I'm just trying to survive.
Yeah.
But knowing that support is there means everything to me. And hopefully everyone understands.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that you're going through all that. And that's amazing that you shared with the net that you know that it's there. Just the presence of that really helps. And it's important also to talk about how if it is hard to call in the moment, when sometimes friends will say, why didn't you call me? Yeah. And I was having a hard time during COVID. A lot of my friends, why didn't you call me? I'm like, I was just surviving. It's not like a diss on the friendship or anything. It was just in the moment.
That's how you were coping.
Yeah. And I knew that you were there and that did provide peace.
Yeah.
I can
Everybody copes differently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think this question was also challenging for me. I don't know why. It's interesting. I mean, I know I have so, I got divorced and I'm officially going to be divorced like a year in December. And I would say after the divorce was final, after he left the house, I mean, there were intervals along the way that were just incredibly painful for my daughter, for me. And I felt, and the same as Julie in some ways, like there were some people that I could talk to I could talk to Julie, but maybe not, but it was the same thing in that I knew that I knew that people cared. I knew that people were there. I knew that if I needed them to rally around me, that I could get that. And then actually, like, I mean, I kind of like, I think was involved in crafting this a little bit, but we had like a post-divorce get together at Julie's house and kind of asked everybody to share one hope for me for the future. And it was so meaningful for me to get that love and support. Like actually was, I felt okay, like asking for it, you know, like I needed everybody to kind of give that, like, help me move this train down the tracks a little bit. It's scary, you know, to go through that. And I felt a lot of love. There was humor, you know, like somebody bought me this bottle of wine that said like divorce wine.
There was humor and a lot of tears
and a lot of love. And in that moment, I was like, yeah, I do have like a tribe of people, women who kind of get this and get me and will support me through it. So, yeah, it was nice to know.
I love how you said that everyone went around and shared their hope for you. Very positive and intentional. And you were able to receive it.
Yes.
That's neat.
Yeah.
It's really special.
Yeah. It was really helpful. Yeah. Yeah. It's because I think when you're going through something really hard, like Julie was saying, it's like, it's easy to retreat, you know, it's easy to go into your little shell and not want to take it, you know, just like, it's actually pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone sometimes to like, let people share with you how they see you or what they want for you. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
I love that.
Yeah.
And let help in. That's hard for me too. I remember when my mother-in-law was coming to visit once postpartum and the house was a wreck. Mm. I was a wreck and everything was a wreck. And I called my mother and I said, she's coming in a week and it looks horrible and I look horrible. I don't know what to do. She said, Bonnie, you let her help you. Yeah. You have to let her help you. And I made a decision. Like, I'm just going to let her see it and come and it strengthen our relationship. And who's going to not help?
Right.
We have these
just had a baby. Like,
because the floorboards are dirty. Doesn't make any sense.
No.
So, but that's really special. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. I see the way that you love each other and I really admire it. And I just love your friendship.
Thank
you for coming on and talking about it.
Thank you for having us.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Emotional and fun.
Appreciate it.
Emotional and fun.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I need a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I need a tequila. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. The book Entry Level Mom will be available December 2023. Details will be listed at the website booksbybonnielippincott.com, all one word. If you want to follow along, my Instagram is booksbybonnielippincott, separated by underscores. TikTok is Entry Level Mom, and email is booksbybonnielippincott@gmail.com. Have a great day, and please remember to be kind to yourself.